Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
It is so good to be able to hear straight from Israel.
Yes.
And when the government leaders talking about, you know.
Straight from Jerusalem.
Yes, straight from Jerusalem. And she is, Sharon Haskell. Mm-hmm. And to watch the journey, because Israel, you know, you're looking at what, 60 years old, that she got her, she's lived in California. She served in the military for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went to California for a year. And then she went to Australia to get her degree in veterinarian medicine. I guess that's what it was. And then she came back to serve her country.
Beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful.
I mean, that is so beautiful. It sets a great example. If, in fact, you know, this thing that Israel has about, you know, mandatory military service, I believe it's 2 or 3 years or something,
yes,
for everyone. If, you know, and if our military, for example, right now, what, you know, we totally have the greatest respect for all of our men and women,
mm-hmm,
that are serving our country. But what our leaders are doing, you know, to the military, they're just twisting it and turning it and forcing things. And it's like, you know, it's not necessarily a place that you want your daughter to,
yeah,
serve for 2 years,
mm-hmm,
or 3 years or 4 years. But that can change, by the way. All that can change.
Sure.
And, but it just kind of sets you in a pace. And this early age, she says, all that accomplished because at 18 years old, she went straight in and began to learn those principles. And I can imagine what it's like, you know, in the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, learning how to, because, you know, it's what, 60 miles wide at its widest point.
Yeah.
You got to be alert.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people jumping out with knives at the bus stops and just constantly working on the southern border, what's happening, coming up there, watching. I mean, it's amazing what it takes. Well, I really admire those,
mm-hmm,
the IDF. And we followed them during that, what was it called, with a...
Operation Protective
Shield.
Shield, yeah. In fact, they have organizations where if you feel you want to support the IDF, you can go. You can go to Israel, and you,
right,
can actually support them from here and,
right,
do all kinds of things for them. That's the Israeli military. But
yeah, Operation Protective Edge. And, people in America are going over there and enlisting. And in the IDF and serving to defend Israel,
mm,
and then coming back. I mean, you can do that.
Sure can.
And where some others are going and registering to join ISIS,
yeah,
and they can't. I don't believe they can't come back. I don't know.
No.
It depends on who our next leader is going to be.
Yeah.
But the
it's interesting what the Palestinians are doing. All this money that's going there, and they're not investing to take care
and
of the sewage.
Sewage. The sewage and chemicals and all these things are being. And it's like somebody that stayed too long, that don't care about your house,
oh, yeah,
tearing
it's
it
time
up.
To go.
It's just time to go. I mean, look at all the land that's available with the Arab League of Nations.
22 nations all across North Africa and the Middle East. It kind of reminds me of what happened with Hamas, all the money that was given to Hamas to build,
right,
infrastructure, to build schools,
right,
and mosques, whatever. They built underground tunnels to attack Israel.
Well, from reports are, during Mecca, they had enough housing built by temporary tents, air-conditioned tents,
oh,
real fancy stuff, that they could have brought all of the Palestinian Authority's people there and had them,
yeah,
there. In addition, they could have even taken in
all the refugees.
All the refugees there. But they openly, like, we're not going to take them in.
Mm-mm.
And it's like, this is Mecca. This is where Saudi Arabia, this is where most,
yeah,
of this stuff is rooted,
mm-hmm,
and radical Islam is rooted, reportedly, that's being trained up and taught there.
Wahhabism and all that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you won't even take, it's amazing. It's totally amazing what's going on. Israel God has touched Israel in such a special way that they don't get offended, but they just keep plugging away and doing what's right. And they're saying, listen, we're going to need international help. There's so many people, John, right now that says we need to get around the Palestinian Authority.
Mm.
What, so they can pollute more, give them more money, so they can damage more, shoot more missiles going out? I'm not shooting these missiles coming into Israel. Why not support Israel? Well, they're going to bless the Palestinian people. They're going to bless the whole region.
Yeah.
You know, when you support Israel, their evidence is, and we've shown it over and over and over again on VFN TV, that if you bless Israel, you're going to be blessed. I mean,
yeah,
of course, God says if you do bless Israel, he'll bless you. But they just outright just bless you. They bless us. You think about the little, even down the little cherry tomatoes.
Cherry to my favorite in my salad.
If you eat a cherry tomato, that came out of Israel.
My favorite, yeah.
Drip irrigation. If you think about drip irrigation in your garden where just little drips of water come out of a hose, that was invented in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Filtration systems, facial identification, ability to walk, mechanical limbs that help people that have that are paralyzed, able to walk.
So many
different things, and they're just blessing everyone. And so if somebody's against that, and Israel's going, listen, just become a citizen of Israel.
Yeah.
Just become a citizen of Israel. You can integrate into the culture here, and everything that we have is yours, even to the point where those that did do that, some of the Arab people did that, they're in government. They're in leadership. They have businesses there. And it's just an amazing country.
What also shows you, too, what's happening against Israel, this BDS, this boycott, diverse, and sanctions, you know, agenda, is the power of words. Don't say words don't matter. This is all about a narrative. Without firing a single shot, they're still, you know, committing war, if you will, against Israel. The war of words and changing the narrative so that we would think that Israel is the aggressor, when it's actually the complete opposite.
You want to think, you really want to think, it's not really a speech. I mean, people are not that gullible where if they just hear something, they believe it. But after a while, you just got to understand that's exactly how things are. I mean, even God said he chose from the foolishness of what is preached to be able to spread his message. So it's a spoken word. Words are not just words, they're spirits. He says, the flesh counts for nothing, but the words I speak to you are life. And so you can speak words of life and death. So it does matter who's pouring into your ear. It does matter who you're broadcasting into your home every single day. It does matter what you're listening to continually. And if you're hearing continually, you know, the opposite of what's true, you're going to begin to believe that. One of the rules for radical Alinsky model that our president actually taught, along with Hillary Clinton herself, and she did a term paper on Saul Alinsky, a thesis in her graduation was, if you tell a lie long enough, people believe it to be true.
Yeah.
And
Hitler followed that to the T.
And so what you're seeing is, so all these lies are being told about Israel, and these truths are not being spoken about the Palestinian Authority and Hamas and what's going on. So now you have people wanting to be a part, some people be a part of DBS. And the way that you stop this is you educate everybody. What does that really mean and what's going on? They use these kind of abbreviations, but it's boycott, divestment, and sanctions. As a matter of fact, take a look at this and you'll better understand what people are trying to do to Israel. Now look at the good they're doing. You just heard one of the government leaders saying, you know, we want to be able to help them. You know, we need the government, the other national governments to help us in this, but look what they're doing now in trying to bring this BDS movement. Listen up.
Those who hate the free and democratic state of Israel have dreamed up yet another way to try to destroy it. It has an innocuous name, but not an innocuous purpose. It's called the BDS movement. The initials stand for boycott, divest, and sanction. Created by Palestinian academics, it calls on individuals, on companies, on colleges, churches, cities, and even countries to starve Israel economically and isolate it socially. The ostensible reason for this is Israel's alleged mistreatment of Palestinians living in the areas of the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. Now, I support the idea of the creation of a Palestinian state. Actually, so do most Israelis. And I'm not particularly supportive of the West Bank settlement policy of the Israeli government. But I condemn the BDS movement in the strongest possible terms. Anyone who has any interest in creating a climate for peace in the Middle East should also condemn the BDS movement, as should anyone who simply understands the immorality of singling out Israel, of all the world's countries, for economic strangulation. Here's why. First, the BDS movement ignores historical reality. You don't have to delve too deeply into late 20th century history to learn that Israel gained control over the West Bank only after it had been attacked by Jordan in the 1967 Six-Day War. No attack by Jordan? No Israel on the West Bank. It's as simple as that. Furthermore, Israel, on at least two separate occasions, most recently in both 2000 and 2008, has tried to give almost all of the land it acquired in 1967 in the West Bank back to the Palestinians. It's the Palestinians who have rejected each of these offers. In other words, There's no need for the BDS movement, since Israel wants to give the Palestinians their own country. Israel only asks to be able to live in peace in return. Second, the BDS movement ignores current reality. Israel is one of the freest countries in the world, and by far the freest in the Middle East, an area with this precious little freedom. In a world full of human rights violators of the most blatant kind, why would you want to boycott a country that has a boisterous free press, is a model of women's and gay rights, and whose Arab citizens, one-fifth of the country, are the freest in the Arab world? Let me repeat, the Arab citizens of Israel, who make up one-fifth of Israel's population, are freer than all Arabs living in Arab countries around the world. Now, the common sense principle of human rights is deal with the worst first. By this principle, there should be BDS movements against North Korea, against Syria, against Sudan, or a dozen other countries. Israel wouldn't even make the list. Of course, Israel has flaws, but like all vibrant democracies with regular elections and functioning courts of law, it makes a constant effort to correct them. Let's not forget that Israel did not build a security fence on the border of the West Bank or establish checkpoints because it wanted to keep hard-working Palestinians out of Israel. It did these things because it wanted to keep terrorists out of Israel after enduring years of horrific suicide bombings following the peace talks that the Palestinians rejected in 2000. Third, the BDS movement makes peace much less likely. Why? Because the Palestinians, if they believe that the BDS movement can strangle Israel economically and make it an international pariah, why should they ever negotiate? Why not just wait until Israel has no choice but to capitulate? But the BDS movement doesn't just hurt Israel, it hurts everyone. Israeli scientists and engineers are leading innovators in the fields of medical technology, in the fields of renewable energy, water conservation. The BDS movement wants to keep these scientists, as well as Israeli historians and other academics, from sharing their innovations and their knowledge and their insights with the world, with you. But the BDS activists don't care about helping the world. They care about hurting Israel. This leads to one final issue that has to be confronted, the motives of the people behind the BDS movement. Here, those tempted to support this movement must be very careful. The leaders of the BDS movement have no interest in a two-state solution. They reject the concept of Israel as the nation-state of the Jewish people. The BDS movement deliberately fools people. It claims to be opposed only to Israel's settlement policy, when in fact it's opposed to Israel's very existence. You may have sympathy for the Palestinians and wish to help them. I share that sympathy. But by aligning yourself with the BDS movement, you are aligning yourself with people who don't want to see both sides thrive. They want to see one side, Israel, destroyed. They don't merely want to see a change in policy. They want to see an end to the nation state of the Jewish people. Do you want to spend your time and moral energy supporting such a cause? For decent people, the answer is no. I'm Alan Dershowitz, professor of law at Harvard University for Prager University.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.